So yeah, so I said that the whole process is designed to do that. Whereas, like, obviously, we were the more creative side, and I talk about it a lot. How everything's designed to make you react. So instead of being the reactor, we need to take the C out of reactor and bring it to the front and be the creator. And so you're constantly in this state of creating all the time. You know, when you get up in the morning, what are you thinking about? What are you creating? Or are you just reacting to like all the demands of everyone else and their bullshit nothing chats on social media?
Yeah.
So it's just trying to get people into that kind of mindset, like just keep creating stuff, because that's where your intuition grows.
Absolutely.
You know, your visions for your future, all of it.
Welcome to Far Out with Faust, everybody. I am Faust Ticho, and today I'm delighted to be joined by AJ Roberts, host of the AJ Roberts podcast. Let me tell you about AJ and what he's been up to. AJ joined the Royal Engineers at 19 after being given an ultimatum by the courts, which was join the military or go to jail. He chose to join the British Army, which turned his life around. He served many tours, what we would call them. I think they're called terrains. Over there, including Iraq, Afghanistan, Sierra Leone. And he found his passion for the pursuit of personal development in those tours. And when his terrains finished, he challenged himself to compete at a high level of a variety of sports. And he did a lot of traveling. And he obtained a lot of qualifications in leadership and coaching in multiple disciplines, such as boxing, strength, conditioning, personal training, and what we call soccer over here. He's using all that experience to help others on their journey to become their best selves. And he does this through live speaking engagements and his podcast, which I mentioned earlier, the AJ Roberts podcast. The AJ Roberts show, excuse me. His mission is consciousness. See why he's here now, right? He works to show people what they're truly capable of and to help them remember who they are. AJ, it's a pleasure to welcome you, brother. We are aligned in so many ways. It's crazy.
Yeah, thanks for the fantastic. Yeah, thanks for the introduction, brother. It's been an interesting journey for sure, and you know, I talk about this at my talks about how everything that we've been through, you know, since we can remember up until this point, is almost like all our basic training for now. You know, you don't need to have been in the military to have pretty much gone through rigorous basic training, because we've all been through a lot of periods where we've had to show a lot of signs of resilience. You know, majority of the same people in the same countries went for the last 3 years in similar fashions. You know, having to show a lot of resilience there. And you don't need to have been a soldier to realize, you know, that there's a massive attack on humanity. And that we are in a war of a multifaceted war, you know, not conventional in terms of there's bombs and bullets flying everywhere, but in terms of a war on we the people. And again, it's just like, how do you stand in your power as a human being? You know, you don't need to be a soldier or anything. And that's what I've shown people is like the very nature of our greatest strengths in the human body and mind is what they have attacked us on. And they've known us better than we've known ourselves. And that's basically what I break down and show everybody is, you know, this is the minefield, right? Which is life. And these are where the mines are. So it's just like, you know, if you still continue to go and step on them,
yeah,
then that's on you. But like, this is, you know, presenting people with the right information, which I know we've all done in essence in the best way we thought possible over the last few years to help people. People still, you know, stepped on a few mines.
A lot of explosions going on.
I guess that's in essence what it is. It's just using all that military training, the awareness that I gained during my time in the military, you know, seeing a lot of the false flags in my own eyes. And then even subsequently working at Porton Down in UK after I left the military, which is where they test and trial chemical and biological weapons and agents and stuff. So and seeing what, and you know, even seeing what they do there with mind control and stuff like that. So it's you know, everyone has a role in this life. You know, some of us are really finding them. And I had to go through all that to, you know, and witness all that and experience all those experiences to kind of do what I do now. Which, you know, as
yeah,
sometimes it could be quite tiring, you know, always on the, I'm on the road and talks all the time, but, you know, and staying out of my bed. But at the same time, I don't call it work because like, I absolutely believe I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
You're doing what you feel you came here to do. I understand that, you know, and, you know, I love talking about this and I don't think it can be emphasize enough because I say all the time, you sometimes you have to hear something 101 times for it to truly sink in and be understood. You know, sometimes you could hear something over and over, but you don't really get it. And maybe you get it on an intellectual level, but you don't get it in your heart. Right. And sometimes it's that 101, it's that 101st time that you're like, oh my, you know, you somehow, there's a new circuit that's connected in the mind and the heart. And so I talk about this all the time, you know, we have all been put on this earth for a reason. And I don't think many get away unscathed, you know, whether it's through childhood, adolescence, teenage years, and in this time, probably in any time on earth, but it seems particularly relevant to talk about now, you know, there's a lot of trauma that is going around.
Yeah.
And so you go through these dark times and it's like, you are very much an exception the way you've come out of it. And it fascinates me that you were a soldier, you know, and that you, I'm sure that you had to get through a lot of hardened, you know, the as you know, the tendency is to become hard and close off the heart, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Particularly when
they removed the whole spirit side of it from you know, from everything. So, you know, everything, instead of it being like spirit, mind, body, it's literally just like mind, body, is some equipment and some kit, mm-hmm. and go put it on. Like that's, you know, and I joke about it quite a lot at my talks about how some people ask me like about spiritual journeys and all this kind of stuff. And I always say that, you know, joke about time in the army where you wouldn't be there on a Friday night saying to the lads, look, I'm gonna have an early one, like, got big meditation in the morning.
I gotta get up at 4 a.m. so
yeah, it's just it just wouldn't happen. Yeah, but and it doesn't exist because it's like that's all part of the programming, is to kind of get you into that bubble where you just like follow orders. But again, that's why I struggled and why I got out. I just couldn't conform, not because I just out of spite. A lot of the time I could just see past all the BS, and I've seen a lot of the stuff, you know, in Afghanistan, my own eyes, and being in a dusty village, for example, where no one's even seen a TV or radio, let alone a newspaper, ever in their life. And you're very quickly like, well, how are these people here a threat to the people of the UK, our streets? You know, the major threats we have are the devices that are being planted for us in doorways and, you know, and in cornfields and stuff like that. And obviously, like, you know, the poppy fields, which produce 80% of the world's heroin, but yet they're not being, why aren't we setting fire to them then? Why aren't we taking them up?
Eureka, there's a key right there, you know.
Yeah. And again, the same in Iraq. But, you know, when you clearly see there's no WMDs and all these American contractors are just sat with their feet up on $1,000 a day because there's nothing to look for. it's crazy. But, I guess having the conversations about all this stuff now is fantastic. And I was literally saying today just how many guys are turning up to my shows like on their own, which is awesome. And that's again the thing in the military is that you kind of get molded into this persona that you don't speak your truths and you don't speak your feelings. You know, and that's why there's so many suicides. You know, my best friend being one of them. Like, he took his own life in 2017.
I'm sorry.
You know, hung himself on the back of his door in the sergeant's mess. And it was actually his funeral that I did his eulogy and everything. And that was a big moment for me because it was like kind of made me realize what I was supposed to do, if you know what I mean. In terms of speak one to many, give like inspiration and hope and stuff like that. Because I sat down and my wife was just like, wow, you like didn't even flinch or get emotional or anything. And I just said, that's just this weird realization that I'm supposed to be doing this. But I don't mean go to loads of funerals and like.
No, I know. But I mean, she was talking about
standing in front of people and like, lifting people's vibration, you know. And that was a big realization moment for me.
I see, yeah.
With it all. And I very quickly got out of the army, and the commanding officer was even saying, like, you need to get out. Like, the army is not for you.
Yeah.
So they had my back in that essence.
That's amazing.
It's just been a crazy journey ever since.
So you must have saw some serious SHIT. I don't know. Somebody told me the last podcast I recorded, or someone was like, you should never swear if you don't have to. I was like, really? Fuck. No, I don't usually swear, but you must have seen some shit, you know, while you're over there, and you know, you see enough of it. And I mean, like, and we're all living it with this, you know, I mean, just, we see a lot of, I mean, I think of my parents, you know, they watched JFK get his head blown off live on national TV. I'm sure they were probably scared to turn the TV off after that. God knows what they would miss, you know, all of us, most of us, you know, who are alive, in our generation. And, you know, we all saw 9/11 happen. And there's a reason why those things are broadcast the way they are and then repeated and repeated and repeated. That is the trauma effect. That is part of the control mechanisms that they have in place and why they orchestrate these giant, terrible atrocities. But, you know, my question to you, AJ, is for me, it was a long journey, you know, and for a lot of reasons that probably a lot of my listeners have heard and don't need me to go back over, but it took me a while to be able to physiologically allow myself to be vulnerable in front of people and allow myself to speak my truth with my heart open and just allow my vulnerability, because I had been hardened from childhood and from different abuses and all that. And I'm sure that, you know, even if you had the most idyllic childhood imaginable, being in the military, had to have created some fear. I'm curious as to how you got from, you know, being molded into this Iron Man, you know, into this soldier to, I see the things you're talking about and I see the mission you're on and I see a man who has, you know, come to a lot of great realizations, but who is leading with his heart. And I'm wondering if that was a process for you. And if you had to go back and really like what you did to like, was it just natural for you or did you have to, you know, do some soul searching?
I think soul searching was a big part of it, but I think it's the same for everybody. But I think I've always been in like leadership kind of roles. I'm the oldest of four boys. I've kind of, I guess by default, like exited the, you know, the modern programs that we get put through, like just at the right time. So like, I left home at 16, for example, so then I wasn't being like programmed by my parents and, you know, who were, you know, bless them, they're quite unhealthy people, you know, heavy smokers, heavy drinkers and stuff like that. I went to live with my nan and granddad and then to play football or soccer initially until I got injured. So they are my best mentors, you know, they've taught me my best lessons. And I literally am my granddad. Like, I'm a spitting image of him. Like so when he was younger, I'm literally a spit of him. And he was the second man to land on Juno Beach in 1944.
Wow.
Captured the tallest man in the German army. As well, he was 7'6". I've managed to break away from that and then be molded by my biggest mentors early on. But then even in the military, I was always organizing things, getting into coaching, helping people, developing people, being of service all the time, you know, and then so that kind of grew. But then by the time I left, I felt very abnormal because I didn't like want to just get shit faced every night and all that kind of stuff, you know, like most people, when I was always going to personal development events and stuff like that. And I guess shining my light in that essence. And then it was upon leaving, and then obviously the whole lockdown situation started, and I called it out before it even started. I was actually in Sierra Leone doing some charity work, and this fantastic charity, we work with amputees and the rape victims of the Blood Diamond War. And I was literally over there seeing more false flags in my own eyes, you know, like the fallout from Ebola and all this kind of stuff. So that again started my journey on speaking my truths. And then as soon as the whole March 2020 happened, and then my granddad passed away in August 2020, and at his funeral, we can only have like 20 people there, you know, all wearing masks. And I was just like, nah, I'm not having this. Yeah. And that's it. I went hard out on the whole thing, you know, my podcast and all sorts. And I guess the more vulnerable spiritual side of it kind of evolves because of that, you know. So I always say that COVID's the best thing that's ever happened to me. You know, the connections I've now got, the podcast, courses I run, the talks, bringing all these communities together. I'm like, you know, and I don't even call it work. So what more can I ask for?
Yeah.
But in my own personal embodiment, I guess just really taking that time to go within all the time, and, you know, doing meditation practices, doing breath, learning all about different types of breath work, you know, as well as everything else, and putting all that all together, and then seeing the impact it's had on me, and then incorporating that into what I do. So it's and then it's just got me to a point where, like, I'll talk about anything, you know.
Yeah.
And they're proper meaningful conversations as well, you know. I'm not there about you. I struggle around people who just have nothing chats, you know, as in,
yeah,
how's the kids? Oh, how's work? Like, you know.
I overhear people, I'm like, wow. You know, it's, some people are very much still plugged into the matrix, you know. I guess I'm just amazed, AJ, because, I mean, like, so, you know, you went from doing all that, which we just covered, and now you're giving talks about, you know, understanding energy and the power of the pineal gland and meditation and breath work, which meditation and breath work alone, you know, that will really change a person. You know, there's, whether there's trauma present or not, breath work is a great healer. You know, you can really heal from not just trauma you've experienced, but from ancestral trauma with breath work. The right breath work really is miraculous. And meditation, my opinion, because it changed my life completely, as well, you know, was the start of my great awakening, was when I firmed and became consistent with my meditation practice. And started studying from some incredible, you know, modern day teachers and gurus, or whatever you want to call them, you know, like Dr. Joe Dispenza and Bruce Lipton and these cats, like, that, you know, they taught me how to quiet my mind. And then from there I could fill it. All this information started to come in once I learned how to quiet that the monkey jabbering crazy, whatever was going on before, you know. But, you know, so people understand. You know, your talks are, you know, you also talk about, you know, connecting to our star family. You've had incredible guests on your podcast who I'm not going to let you go before I ask you how you got, because I've been trying to get Michael Sala. I love his books. I'm a huge fan of Michael Sala. And I saw you had him on your podcast, and I was like, man, I wrote him like 3 times. I know he's busy. But I love his books, and I mean, I'm so into his work. And I was like, I wonder how AJ got a hold of him. You know, but anyway,
I think it's through his Telegram channel. I think I got a hold of him.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm part of that too. Yeah.
If you drop a comment and stuff, I think that's what I did. But we had a really great chat, and, I'm really interested about, obviously, a lot of the stuff that is contact JP, that, you know, comments on. The military person or the military teams that are, you know, investigating underground crystalline cities and stuff. So what's not fascinating to learn about?
So much.
Yeah, but I talk about this on the talks. I said to people, you know, cause majority of people have come of, like, either seen, you know, very early on, you know, the last 3 years was BS, or, like, probably about 10 to 15% of the people coming now have got injuries from the shots. Like, so they just want to kind of learn what it's all about, learn how to about self-healing and stuff like that, which is amazing. Because I create a space where there's no such thing as guilt or shame or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? It's all about perspective, and it's all about, you know, I always say to everyone at the start, I'm like, put your hand up if you've had an anthrax shot. No one puts a hand up, and I'm like, on my own. Yeah. Like, well, I feel kind of lonely right now.
Yeah.
And I said, and I was very ill after it as well. And that was my wake up in 2003 to all, you know, jazz.
Man, I read about that and I was like, they really experiment on you guys. Like, they do it to our soldiers too. These experiment, you know, they treat them. It's so terrible. The anthrax vaccines that they gave you guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just that, it's the malaria tablets as well. You know, like larium and all that kind of stuff. Like, I remember waking up and just seeing guys like punching pillows in their sleep and going crazy on them.
Terrible.
Yeah. It's awful. But the ironic thing is the company who made the anthrax jabs is a company called Bioport. And the two main beneficiaries of said company are the Bush family and the Bin Ladens.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Here's irony for you. Oh, my God. Unfucking believable. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up.
It's just everything's a sick ritual, isn't it? And it's like, even this is what, you know, kind of showing people, like, we're in this movie, and I said, even in these wartime areas, locations, when you're there, you refer to it as like, we're in theater. That's what it's called.
That's right.
So it's literally like just a big pantomime that's being propped up by this illusion of politics and religion. And it's yeah, when you really like peel it apart like that, you can just see all the every single dot.
You really start to see just how connected and orchestrated it all is, and it's the scale of it is massive. But the more that you're willing to look, and a lot of people don't have the stomach to look, and you know, because they you know, you roll over that first rock, and you're like, oh my God, you know, it takes a brave soul to keep rolling over rocks after that. You know, you got to have a passion for the truth, and know why you're doing it, you know, because it's a betrayal on every level. And it's not easy to try to wrap your mind around how the quote powers that be and why elements of them have decided that this is what is the best course for our nations and for the people, I should say, in spite of the people who live there, the great people who live there, who they obviously can't see as equals for whatever their reason and indoctrination. You know, there's a disconnect there, because if they would just come and sit and have dinner with families, they would not be able to consciously do what they do. There's got to be a disconnect there.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And that's one of the big things I emphasize all the time. Like, this disconnection everywhere we look, and everything's about disconnecting us from, you know, from source, you know. That's why I say coronavirus, like corona equals crown. You know, it's a virus of the crown chakra to stop you from being disconnected, to stop you from being connected to, you know, who you're supposed to be. You know, the way this shift is happening at the moment, you know, all the crazy energies that we've got, like that whole shift that's happening. And I mean, I didn't even go as far as saying the shift in humanity is like just exploded in the last week or so from what I'm seeing, and other friends are, like, even in my own family, just suddenly like big massive aha moments, like some awakening grenades have gone off of people's heads. Mm-hmm. It's been amazing. So I did a little video earlier just explaining about how I've been really focusing my attention on being the observer the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. And actually just, and you know, and this is for anybody listening, just, you know, a lot of us have spent the last few years like shaking people, like, why can't you see what we can see?
Yeah.
When all that does is keeps them in the lower vibrations of like fear, guilt, shame, you know, apathy and stuff like that. So they can't receive the information. So, you know, like we go, look,
yeah,
chemtrails, look, jabs, look, mask, look, do you know what I mean? It's more chaos on top of like what they've already experienced. Where being the observer, you can actually, and being your authentic self all the time, like they rub off on that. Like, they literally magnetize to it. And we're experiencing it like daily. with family and friends, you know, people that fell out of our life that now come back in.
Yes.
And it's like, they're now all like going to yoga and doing breath work and having cold showers and doing stuff. Not because I told them to, because they're just like, they're suddenly exploring all these modalities, like, because they're like, they're identifying they're on the hamster wheel. And it's like, it's all, everything I was saying around all that stuff, like, it's all making sense to them. And I'm being the observer and just watching the growth in each person. And that's where you see that the awakening of everybody, it just doesn't have to be the same speed as yours. It's, you know, you can just see the signs. So just be the observer and like watch a family member and say, like, so many guys I know now are suddenly just growing their own food and they're loving it. Mm-hmm. You know, and so many more guys are openly talking about meditation and stuff like that. So just those little things is part of that growth journey. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really refer to it as like a spiritual awakening. It's just literally us remembering who we are. Like that's literally right.
It's a perfect way to put it, pink and fluffy
or anything.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think it comes easier to some people than others, but you're absolutely right. You gotta remember that the people who you're trying to slap awake and saying, look, those people are set where they are in all likelihood, in all probability, because of fear. When you're going, look, you know, what's happening there? I did this for a year to
we've all done it,
you know, especially when the pandemic hit. I was living in New York City and I'm like, I'll catch a flight to Wuhan right now and walk through the laboratory butt naked and I'll show you how dangerous this all is, right? And people are like, you got to stop that, man. You know, and I'm like, I'm not going to stop anything because I understand my body and I understand physics, okay? You know, like, I don't need to be told. This is something is not right here, you know? And anyway, you realize quickly that you're not swaying anyone. Maybe you might inspire one out of 99 people who, you know, sees your bravery and has that in them, but that's because it's already there. It's not really what you're doing. The only way to change is exactly what you're talking about, is to focus on your growth, you know, and then watch the ripple effects, you know.
Yeah. Observe. It's massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's big.
And it's like, and what's great is all the people that have done like my previous courses and stuff like that, where they're all in like separate chat groups and they just all become one big family, like, you know. And that's the thing I've been emphasizing on the courses, and I show them like the power of the mind and the body, but then they then exercise that afterwards, like constantly, and all their friends and family see that. Like all my friends and family see me, who are kind of pro-narrative, and they're always saying like, oh man, you look so fresh every time I see you, blah, 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 what's the secret? So I just say, well, I just look after myself this way, that's it. And you can see, like, you know, it being very present in the conversation. And that's how it does, and people see that, and they start making those little changes themselves because they're seeing everything around them at the moment collapse, right? You can't not see that, you know, no matter where you live, all the financial systems, the medical systems, big pharma, big food, big tech, like it's all collapsing. So people are naturally seeing it all going, I don't want to be a part of this shit anymore. And then they're seeing what you've been talking about this whole time and the good stuff.
Yeah.
As long as you keep it on that path of the good stuff, you know, that's what I like to try and emphasize. Like I don't walk around all day taking photos of the sky, posting them on social media because there's a few chemtrails in there. You know, I'm very adamant that there's two narratives to everything that's happening right now. So, you know, whenever I see photos of the sky, it's the same as every other country. And I'm like, the bad guys are really in control. They do not have the logistics to do all that in every single country. And I'm still not seeing anybody dropping dead. But I'm seeing a lot of vegetation explode everywhere. And I spoke to people in the States and Australia and stuff like that, and they're seeing similar. So I was like, who's to say they're not healing the planet? It's the good people spraying it, but at the same time raising awareness on a mass scale, because everyone's going and it's making everyone look up, you know. So
one way or the other, you know, it's
that's
the nature of this universe. That's the nature of this planet. And, you know, we live in a polarized society. I say this often, you know, like you have to realize that this is the relationship. This is the theory of relativity. Relativity is simply relationship. and that you cannot have, and, you know, and people have a hard time reconciling this. And this, but I believe this is why we came, and this is why we incarnated, you know, on this earth, because to begin to understand that, you know, dark is light and light is dark, life is death and death is life, you know, that these two things meet somewhere in the middle, and the lines between where one begins and one ends disappear. And, and when you realize that, there's a lot less to be afraid of. And that's the biggest hurdle, I think, for a lot of people who are on this planet today, is fear. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who I box with, and his ex-girlfriend had cancer, and she was a beautiful soul, he said. And he said she was, she did like this 2-week plant ceremony in Costa Rica. Yeah. But, he said, you know, by the end of it, she was really laughing about death. She honestly was comparing it to growing out of a pair of shoes. And just realizing that this, you no longer fit in this particular pair, this particular body, and that you got to get a new one. It's as simple as that. And I was like, wow, man, that's just remarkable to hear. And she was a young lady, you know, to come to such understanding.
Yeah, but I mean, on the flip side of that, my neighbor is very gifted, and I've been trying to guide her for the last few months. And I've basically got to the stage where getting her off antidepressants and stuff like that has really plagued her and messed up her mind. And now she's going through this like real situation where she feels like she's in two people in a body, like split worlds and
personality.
It's just like going through the emotions, and that's just, some days she really struggles and she's just like doesn't want to be in this body, but she's so gifted, so I'm trying to help her ground it and things like that. And it was crazy, and you know, when I realized it, and then I could see that she was kind of healing her mum who had a stroke, and then I was just putting it all together. I was like, wow. And then when I was having conversations with her, she went about it, I said, look, I think you're gifted. And she went, yeah, maybe, because I keep seeing like these purple and blue orbs and stuff. And I'm like, what?
Say what?
And then I went, this is what I mean. And she went, yeah. Or she went, well, it makes sense. She goes, my mum is a clairvoyant. I was like, oh my God.
Wow. Wow.
There you go. And I was like, do you think there might be a reason why you're on this medication? You're being told that you're psycho and you need to get locked up.
Amazing.
They do it to everyone who's like this.
Yeah.
And then I was chatting to her brother. He's just come back from Australia, and we were still outside, and I was showing him how to like connect to star family stuff. And there was like leather shooting stars real quick. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh yeah, I used to like lie on my bonnet in Australia. I see like 10 in about 5 minutes. And I was like, right. Like, that just shows how connected you are. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just like, right, need to work on this. It's great. But I said to her, I said, there's obviously a reason why we've moved next to each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big believer that like light workers and stuff, or grid workers, whatever you want to call them, like seem to move and are now living where they're supposed to be.
Yeah. I've and meeting and talking to the who they're supposed to, you know.
Yeah.
Like I was shocked when I was reading your and watching your podcast, and you know, I mean, I was shocked at how aligned we are as far as like who you're talking to, what you're talking about. Yeah. I was like, holy shit, AJ, because I met you through Instagram, but then I was looking at your work and I was like, oh my, you know, I mean, this is incredible. Like the every person who you have had on a guest, you know, I would certainly speak to, you know, and I was like, we got to talk, you know. I had no idea when I first saw you on Instagram that you were also this spiritual, you know, and that you were you had made this your career. And I kind of had to, put two and two together. But when I did, I was like, oh, look where my intuition has led me now.
It's all for a reason, which is a great bit. And recognizing that as well is even better, the awareness of that. It's like Steve Forsyth, who's one of my closest friends and allies. He's a former Royal Marine. Doesn't have a social profile, but he's been with me, like, you know, closing down vaccine centers here in UK, serving all the schools and the being out there like constantly, you know, wearing berets and all this kind of stuff. And he's me and him met at traffic lights in a
get
town.
Out of here. You met at a traffic light?
Like, we literally met at traffic lights, and like, now we're like, he's healing loads of people with these like sort of energy healing pods. And using like chlorine dioxide solution and like terror ones and stuff like that. And it's people are traveling from all over to go see him, you know, and I'm referring people to him as well. And so it's amazing how that all fits. And and you know, likewise, I've connected with like Brad Wozni, former Canadian veteran who's got the Sovereign Soul show. Obviously Derek Johnson and all these ex-military guys and yourself and even younger folks. So there's an awesome guy on Instagram called Ari Malloy. He's like 20 years old. He's a meditation coach, and is you know.
I think I saw one of your posts about him. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like becoming like he's like my little brother, like, you know, and we've never met. So
that's awesome.
People are connecting with the right people, I feel, at the right time, and I'm sure everyone listening will resonate with that. You know, and people that have fallen out of our life have for the right reason, and again, it's for a reason, and because they're not supposed to be here at this time on this mm-hmm. path. You know,
yeah,
you've had those lessons, you know, with that person, good or bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes it's, you know, it has nothing to do with good, you know, necessarily good or bad. It's just a matter of, you know, we love measuring relationships here on Earth, particularly if they're what's the word, not, is it platonic? No, it's when it's, you know, a love relationship. We would love measuring the success of them based on length.
Yeah,
and I'm always like, I bet you that there's a lot of planets out there where they're wise enough to measure a relationship based on what's gained and how much you grow, how much you learn about yourself, how much fun you have, how great the relationship is, you know. And then when it becomes no longer something that either person feels is something that should be maintained because it's stagnating the growth of each individual, then by God bless it and be, you know, and you can be the best of friends with that person. You don't have to continue a romantic relationship with them.
Yeah, that's happening a lot. Like, I've got a lot of friends who have been in sort of relationships for like 8, 10, 14 mm-hmm. years. And then they've suddenly, like, in these new frequency and vibrations that they're in and on this journey of, like, self, they're, like, coming across their soul partners or twin flames or whatever you want to call it, just, like, ramp like that in a shop or something. And one of my friends, it happened to one of my friends, and she was just like, looked at this guy, he looked at her back, and then they saw each other a week later, and then they both said, like, do we know each other?
Right.
And then they started texting, and the next thing they realized, they were just crazy about each other. They both split up with their partners.
Wow.
And are together now. And that's not an isolated incident. You know, I know several people that's happening to.
Yeah. You know, you're in trouble when the first word is, do I know you from somewhere? You're like, ah, shit. Yeah, when you have the same feeling and you're looking at that person, you know, you're like,
yeah. And it's but it's, yeah, it's just like, just to reiterate what you said then, you know, people are at the moment having these kind of aha moments that, you know, it's not quite the strength and depth in the love frequency that's in the relationship. It's because, like, you're married. So in the 3D, in essence, you know, this is, and a lot of people get married in churches, which is obviously religious, divisive. Yeah. But it's all part of the programming, isn't it? Like, what we're supposed to do. So, you know, you, in essence, you're signing into a 3D contract with somebody, whether you love them or not. That's literally what it is. It's contract.
I will love you and only you for the rest of my life. I swear. That's, I mean, it doesn't sound, look, it is what it is. And I'm married. I can only say so much about it, but I do believe that this is a contract that God could not make. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't, like, I'm not saying that it's bad, because for this point in time in our society, it's what we have. But I think that as we evolve as a society and as we, you know, as we begin to learn from our celestial and, you know, interstellar neighbors about how life can be and how it is on other planets and what can work and what maybe doesn't, we're going to see that, you know, that, that true love is unconditional, you know, and the more secure we are, the more unconditional it's going to be. And that means that, you know, that person is free because love is freedom, you know, and it's hard. We live in a scarcity mindset in this planet, in this day and age, and security is a big thing, and marriage and security have been intertwined, you know, and that's due to laws and societal conditioning. It's due to a lot of things, but I do believe that there'll come a time, you know, in this golden age that, God willing, we are approaching, where the divorce rates won't be so high because, you know, there'll be too many, you know, there'll be another statistic of happily split, you know, that or happily friends forever, you know, friends.
Well,
in this
if you look
life
at even the system, how controlling that actually is, you know, we've been brought up to believe, and it's just, this goes back generations, doesn't it? It's not like even our parents' fault, their parents' fault, their parents, you know, this goes back a long time. But like, you're kind of like molded into this thing where you're, if you know, if you love someone or you believe you love someone and that you're going to stay with them, then you need to get married to prove that. And then most people put themselves in debt to pay for the wedding. And then, you know, you probably don't speak to half the people who are at your wedding anyway. I don't speak to probably 90% of the people who are at mine. Yeah. And then you're then in a contract and, you know, and people think, well, it's better to be married to get a mortgage, which is a fake debt as well. And then it's like, so we're goaded into all these systems. But in essence, it's a control thing. And then if it doesn't work out, for whatever reason, people, and then it ends up, because most of them end up with drama because people are programmed to thrive off drama.
Oh yeah.
And then you end up getting in further debt to pay for your divorce.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just
forever,
it's just,
you know,
3D BS contract. And then if there's any children involved, you got agencies then chasing you for money. And it's just like, so that's
divorce
what I'm saying.
Lawyers.
All that needs to just be removed. I mean, you don't need marriage. You don't need like a ring to show that you're in a contract.
I mean, if you didn't get married, then you wouldn't have to deal with divorce court or you know what I mean? But again, security, material. That's how much strife does human beings experience on this planet just due to these constructs, which we've created or we've allowed to be created, and then we live with them without stopping and being like, wait a minute.
Well, we build our own physical prisons, don't we? So we build our own physical prisons, and we build our own mind prison.
Mm-hmm.
So and we built the mind prison of the five senses. You know, we construct that, you know, and that reality based off the physical, which is propping up all the BS systems.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why they still exist. If you like stop, removed a load of stuff, half of it would just collapse immediately.
Absolutely. It would.
Like if you remove germ theory, if you actually taught people about germ theory, train theory, for example, pharmaceutical industry would literally implode. It couldn't exist.
So many things are it's, House of Cards is, that's doing it too much justice. It's much more flimsy than a House of Cards. It's really an illusion. Mm. It's nothing more than an illusion. You know, without the propping up of the false matrix, it literally wouldn't exist. And I tell people all the time, I was like, take the media out of the equation and now tell me about how far the pandemic would have got. You would have never heard a word about it.
Yeah.
It would have been
You wouldn't see people buying daily magazines.
There would have been no consequence to any nation on the planet without the media. And then the subsequent mobilization of the medical industrial complex to do what it did. That's all I'm going to say about it. But that's the truth. I mean, if you don't believe that, then I don't know what, you know, what planet you're living on.
Yeah. Well, I said the other day that, on my Twitter, I said, you know, this whole financed huge, big push to get males to just change into females, you know, the whole transgender push, right?
And vice versa.
Yeah, so I was so ridiculously crazy. I said, a really easy way to stop all this is as soon as they do have the operations and everything, get them on a hormone that makes them have a period. And I guarantee you, it'll all be over after 28 days.
Right. Ask any woman, right?
Yeah.
Ask any born woman. Yeah.
I mean, we all say, don't we? We all say, as guys, we all say we don't envy women and what they go through every month. Like, we all say that.
No. You know, and guys who, I mean, I don't really know enough about this to talk about it, but the guys who get they obviously can never have a period. You can take all the hormones you want and develop breasts, but you cannot create that system in the body. That's the genetic, you know. I mean, it's so confusing. What they're doing is, you know, they don't ever do anything that is for a single reason. They do things that check off a lot of boxes. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
That's how they think. That's how they operate. And this checks off so many boxes. I mean, how many customers, you know, the more people who do this, the more lifelong pharma customers you have. Okay. You get them while they're young and you got them for life. That goes for this, you know, as far as customers and how much medication they'll need. And there's very few long-term studies because some of these medications with the surgery, these are all new, especially doing it on as people as young as they have been doing it on. This is very new.
But there's a lot of new constructs as well, isn't it? It's not just that. It's even, you know, the amount of lip fillers and stuff that people have been kind of, you know, brainwashed into doing. And this isn't me having a dig at people that have them. It's just because the programming is designed for you to have so much self-doubt in yourself that you need to look like something else. So there's no real long-term on the lip stuff yet, but there is on, obviously, the breast implants. There's so many women getting explants now. You know, I've got loads of friends, and I've done a podcast on it with some doctors and stuff. And there's a lot of toxins and a lot of these silicones and that, which are causing mass damage to women all around the world. So obviously with the transgender stuff, there is a high percentage, though, isn't there, of people wanting to change back.
They won't talk about
again,
it.
We
may never know.
They're still on the wheel, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean,
they stay on the wheel even longer.
You know, what's telling is what happens to them when they try to talk about it. And just how first shunned by every media outlet, and when they try to talk about it to try to warn people, but then shunned by the community which they joined because they've I mean, some of them got very, very ill and realized what was making them ill, and others just realized that it was a mistake and that you're making a permanent decision at an age when you really don't have the capacity to about your life. And so they're dealing with the repercussions. They're trying to warn people that this is another side of it, that this is a side effect, you know. And people don't, you know, we live in a world right now where the media is not interested at all. And there's a lot of reasons for that, which we don't have a lot of time to get into, but it's a shame what's going on. But it doesn't surprise me at all. Think about it. It's just like it goes right with everything else that they're doing. And it's a distraction and it's outrageous. So you have people, they know people are going to politicize it and fight over it. They know that one party will adopt it, given the right money. And so it's massively funded. And they know that, you know, they know that if they put drag queens in front of kids, that a certain amount of parents are going to be very upset about that. And rightfully so. Right.
Yeah.
It could be confusing for a young kid. And why would you want to? I mean, I saw a meme the other day. It said, why not put on drag shows for people in nursing homes? Why kids? And I'm like, that's a good question. I mean, what is the desire to do it in front of children and not the elderly?
Yeah. That is the desire, isn't it? You can't hide that. But I do think, though, from, because as I've been trying to show people in my content, is that we're in the middle of the biggest military sting operation the world's ever seen, like to bring down all these deep state members and expose them for who they are. And majority of them are all actors, that what we're seeing now. You know, there's all the evidence there to see who's been taken out, like 2020 and even previous. And what we've all lived through has been designed to wake humanity up, because we would have never been able to get to the level we are now, and people be on the journeys we're seeing now, and even us having this, doing this podcast with without like something catastrophic happening to do that in the first place.
So
I think a lot of these, what we're seeing now is just a huge rise in the transgender push, this huge rise in the drag queens, the craziness, like the chaos. Like, I think it's all designed to wake humanity up, because in terms of like just showing them all the darkness all the time. So it makes them just want to look nowhere else but the light. And what does that look like?
Yeah.
You know, like where we're going. And that's how you get humanity there en masse, putting through these experiences, which we're having in different forms.
I guess it's the fast track. I hope it's the fast track.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Gotta be, you know.
Yeah. It's almost like to bring everyone to their knees almost and pray for God, isn't it? And just ask them to get God to get them out of the shit.
I mean, that's the that seems to me like the most nefarious of the plans are to do just that, but then to be there with the solution, because that's what their tried and true tactic. That's what they, you know, and they know that if they could bring everyone to their knees, then they have that much, it's that much easier for them to control people. And that's why things, you know, the news, everything is so dark, you know, it's everything that you can see is either a shiny distraction or it's just news of doom, you know, and atrocity.
Yeah.
And it's so confusing. Imagine being
they're just presenting individuals or characters in front of you to lord over
mad about, right?
You know? So they'll bring out a Netflix, you know, like a complete fake Netflix documentary with Harry and Meghan, you know, and then it's just to, and all it's designed to do is obviously get ratings, but also to create Team Harry versus Team Will. That's literally all it is.
And yeah, it's good relations for them. It humanizes them, makes people sympathetic with the royal family. And the royal family is as guilty as any of the other oligarchs. They're literally right there with them. I don't, you know, they're no exception and they pretend that, oh, well, they're just, it's all in name now. They don't have anything to do with, well, yeah, you could say that, but when push comes to shove, they're still sitting on some of the greatest financial assets, you know, along with these other families, which gives them a lot of power. We know that. So I know that you probably have your own opinion about the Windsors.
I know how deep this all goes. Trust me.
Yeah.
I was pointing out all the CGI and all the fakery around the coronation and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? It was just everywhere to be seen. And I was even breaking it down to see how they use certain colors. So the royals use purple, and purple's obviously in the middle of the spectrum between red and blue. And it's actually the color you use for optical illusions. And the royal, that's why everything to do with the royals and on certain purple garments, everything is purple. You know, I posted a picture of Charles where everything was red and black, either side of him with his purple garment underneath a robe and stuff like that. So you can clearly see it's used to create an optical illusion, because the background, everything was just
it's all theater.
And they're showing us now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're showing us now daily, like how CGI is constructed and everything. There's even loads of things coming out. I don't know if it was yourself that did a video to do with the photography, even from the like early 1900s they were photoshopping then as well. It's just all there. And, you know, this, and they're even telling people on interviews, on chat shows and stuff that, we don't even need to be there at half these movies. They're just CGI us in.
It's going to come a time when, I think I read this the other day. I was like, God, it's so true. You know, like only a human being would create a system that would put it out of a job. You know, like, what do you think? You've created a system which has left you unemployed. You've created, a program which gives you nothing to do. So what are you going to do? You're going to have to create something else, find something else to do. You know, but we keep doing this. We are creators. We are absolutely endowed with that. You know, I mean, that comes from our creator. We are little sparks of it, you know, of him, of she, whatever, you know, whatever you prefer. That's what I know. That's what I believe. And, but we have to realize that we have to take responsibility for those creations. It cannot just be like, you know, oh, you know, it's like, I mean, it's like having a kid and just forgetting about it instead of raising it and teaching it and doing things the right way. It's a, we have all these creations that we make, like AI. You know, people are losing their minds about AI. Mm-hmm. This is our creation. Why don't we just shape it the way we want it? Why do we keep making these forecasts and letting it put us out of business? Why not? We control the program, the parameters. Mm-hmm. So let's, instead of living in anxiety, let's put the same kind of creative power that we did into making it, into shaping it the way we want it to be. And then we don't have anything to fear. You know what I'm saying? Like people, I just don't understand this world sometimes. It's crazy to me.
I think that's the whole part of it, isn't it? Is that the programming is to keep people in that mindset that this is all what life is about. And it's the same, again, blueprint in every country. And that's why they indoctrinate school kids the same way. In the same countries, you know, it's all about like teaching them what to think, not how to think. And it's all left brain bullshit information. You know, I talk about this at my talks. I'm like, put your hands up. Who did some trigonometry today? And everyone's just like, do some simultaneous.
Have you ever done trigonometry?
Did you do some simultaneous equations on the way over here? it's just like, So I said that the whole process is designed to do that. Whereas like, obviously we were the more creative side. And I talk about it a lot, how everything's designed to make you react. So instead of being the reactor, we need to take the C out of reactor and bring it to the front and be the creator. And so you're constantly in this state of creating all the time. You know, when you get up in the morning, what are you thinking about? What are you creating? Or are you just reacting to like all the demands of everyone else and their bullshit nothing chats on social media?
Yeah.
So it's just trying to get people into that kind of mindset, like just keep creating stuff, because that's where your intuition grows.
Absolutely.
You know, your visions for your future, all of it.
Have you read Neil Donald Walsh, AJ?
Yeah.
You have, right? I had a feeling.
Yeah, I've listened to the full audiobook twice.
Me too, yeah. Me too.
Yeah, the three-part book.
Mm-hmm, the trilogy, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Neil. I wrote him a few times. I said, listen, Neil, I was just talking to God, and he specifically told me I should reach out to you and tell you to get off your ass and come on my podcast. And Neil wrote me back and he was like, I love your sense of humor. I love that you had a conversation with God. He's like, but I'm trying to cut back on my scheduling, not increase it. And I was like, all right, I'll bother you again in like 6 months. But, I love Neil. I love his work. I always recommend it, you know, him and Dr. Joe and Bruce Lipton and these guys, just those three guys alone, Greg Braden, and he's another one, incredible minds. They could really they change lives. You know, they really.
Yeah. That's what, one of the things for me, I've got my own kind of like personal mentor here in the UK, who's not really got a social profile, and he's very much a high dimensional being. And I've, you know, there's knowledge of metaphysics and everything. It's like next level. And I've sat many an hour in a field with my notebook and pen, just like, you know, writing all these like real technical details and data about, you know, the shape of our earth and where we live and the moon and like the things that surround us and colors, light, frequencies, vibrations, you know, all this kind of stuff is just next level. And then he's the one that taught me how to connect to star family as well. So, and all the metaphysics around that. So
I was wondering where you got that from. Where you learned it from.
And that's it, man. I suggest that to anybody. You know, if you're seeking mentorship, it's not always from somebody who's got 200,000 followers on Instagram. You know, your best mentors are usually right on your doorstep.
Right. No, it's true. And when what you're looking for is looking for you. You know, and if you align with your path, you're going to, you know, be ready for what you're going to bump into. You're going to be surprised. I'm sure. It's amazing when you start doing what you love and realizing that, you can sustain this life on that, you know, and, you know, that the things that you need materially as far as resources go, they will come if you follow that and trust that it's going to provide, you know, and just keep doing what you love. It'll work itself out. I notice it happening over and over for so many people. It's a good recipe, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But AJ, I love what you're doing, brother. I know you're short on time today, but I have a feeling that we'll talk again, and 100%.
It'll be good for you to come onto my show, mate, as a guest as well, because I've been a big fan of your work for a long, long time. You know, your video is brilliant.
Thank you so much.
And your knowledge and all the histories is awesome. And I've literally been saying to my audience, you know, I really want to get some people on to go through all the histories and the deep, dark stuff to do with families and blood, mm-hmm. you know, all the stuff that you produce a lot of content on. So, yeah, it'd be awesome to have you on, brother.
Oh, I'd be honored, AJ. I'd love to come on. You let me know, and we'll make it happen, brother. You know, amazing. Before we go, I want to give you an opportunity. And I ask my most of my guests this, the ones who I know can contribute to this conversation, and I know you can, and I know you have been. You know, we're all programmed, right? And we're all living in this program. And I love doing my show, and I'm sure that you have a similar sentiment, because I love to put some conscious programming and empowering programs, you know, some code into the program for people who are listening and who are ready to hear it. And I wanted to give you an opportunity, you know, if you wanted to share some code, some source code, we'll call it, since we're using computer terms all of a sudden, with some listeners, that will help them to achieve a greater ease, you know, and a greater understanding of reality right now. And what would you say to them?
Yeah, I think that one of the best things you can do is like straight away start like grounding yourself and doing a lot of the inner work straight away, because you'll see the benefits of that, obviously calming the mind, you know, take up meditation, all that kind of stuff, and just be progressive with it. Don't just think that you need to sit on the edge of a cliff like Yoda. It's not like that at all. It's all about just, you know, keeping the practice going, because you've literally got the secrets and all the truths to all the universe and all the histories inside you, you know, and the more you practice it, the more you'll start getting the download and all this kind of stuff. But what you'll start experiencing is like you'll become show a lot more gratitude towards everything. Mm. You know, you'll be able to discern everything so much easier, so much quicker. You'll gravitate towards the right people. You'll see people magnetized to you because you're shining your light so bright. And that's the important thing here. So especially for those that have been concerned about waking family up and all this kind of stuff, just keep shining your light. That's what actually wakes them up. Mm. And then have sort of low level conversations around an area that they're interested in. So a friend of mine is in construction. So I said, oh, have you seen this John Levi's podcast on YouTube? Amazing, like it's on Tartarian history. Like I just started learning about it. Mm. So he's just like, oh no, what's that? And then I just left it with him. A week later, he's like, wow, I'm hooked. I'm like, wow, well, if they're lying to us about that, what else are they lying to us about? And then I just leave it at that, you know, I'm not wading in. And I think that's the best thing to do, is like just keep working on authentic self, you know, be conscious of what you're putting in and on your body, and have as many meaningful conversations on a daily basis as you can, because all that does is just massively raises your vibration, and you're leaving those energy signatures everywhere you go. So even at the cashier, when you're at the supermarket,
absolutely,
like be present, make eye contact, little grin, and just say something to them, and you'll literally see like they suddenly become taller. It's like you literally, that's how quickly you can enlighten people.
I mean,
that's my message.
I love it. It's perfect. It's awesome. I was in traffic the other day and somebody, instead of going, they turned and they looked at me and they smiled and they said I could go. And I just remember everything in my body shifting and being like, my God, that was so, you know, I hear everyone out here raging and hear this person just, I was like, thank you. So I mean, I wanted to like get their license plate and send them a, a thank you card. They just shifted every element, like every cell in my body. It's just one tiny gesture. It's amazing how powerful we are, you know, and you can affect everything, you know, by living your truth and being organic, and authentic with yourself. Mm. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And you can play around with it as well. You can play around with it. You've like walk down the street or in the marketplace or whatever, like high vibration, and you watch the eyes just gravitate to you. Like, so you know that effect.
You know,
and then like when you start really getting tapped into it, and you know you're tapping into your quantum field, you'll know your field is being felt by others because it's really strong, and they'll start, you know, they'll really feel it and just like feel great just being around you.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to enjoy a life where everything you go about and you do is from a place of love, and you're enjoying it. You're seeing the beauty in everything.
That's what we're here for, I think. Yeah. Next time we talk, AJ, we're going to talk about UFOs, and we'll go farther out. But I wanted to introduce you to my audience, and I'm glad to have the time with you that I did, and we'll do it again sometime soon. And I'll definitely come on. You know, you let me know. We'll be in touch. We'll schedule something.
Yeah, amazing, man. Yeah, and thanks for having me on your show. You know, I absolutely love it. I love all your work. I'm always like sharing and your little clips and stuff, and
thank you,
and sharing people. So,
appreciate it, man. It's amazing.
It's
keep shining your light, brother. I'll be in touch with you, and I'll let you know when this episode's going to air and all that, and we'll coordinate it on social media. You know, so make sure we get it out to our followers and all the platforms and all that.
Beautiful.
Okay, brother. You take care. You have a good night.
Yeah, much love. Thanks, bro.
Thanks, man.